We are back. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the show. We have a bit of a departure for this week. I'm excited to do something different this week. But before I tease that, this show is all about bringing together different perspectives. Especially for this episode, I thought it was important to have a female perspective on this show. I think that's really important, and y'all will understand why when y'all know what we'll be discussing this week. But thank you for being here. Feel free to rate the show, especially if you are listening on Apple Podcasts. You know, the rate tool is already there. Just scroll down a little bit. If you feel compelled, leave a review, say something nice about the show, and feel free to follow me as well. I feel like I'm a good follow. This week, you guys, we are joined with our pop culture enthusiast, Steffi. Oh, Steffi is here.
That's me. I'm back. I am a reoccurring character on Justin's show now.
Yes, a series regular.
yes.
So y'all know Steffi at this point. Steffi, do you want to plug yourself for the people?
So I host a podcast called Diva Dailies. It's a podcast where we deconstruct divas on film and TV. You can follow the podcast. We're at Diva Dailies Pod on Twitter and Instagram. Or if you want to reach out to me personally, that's where I'm like most active. You can follow me on Twitter at INN_MHO. And I also have a YouTube channel. It's called In My Humble Opinion. And I feel like a large reason why, additionally, Justin brought me on here today to talk about a certain show is because I've been covering the show on my YouTube channel with reaction and review videos. So I'm very, very excited to be talking about I May Destroy You.
Yes, let's get into it. So this episode is a departure from what I usually do on the show. You know, a couple months ago, I reviewed the show Little Fires Everywhere. And the reason I reviewed that show is because the show brought up certain topics that I thought were important to discuss. So even if you haven't seen the show, I feel like the discussion is worthy of being listened to because so many of the themes in that show were important and relevant for a broader discussion. And same with the show that we are covering this week on this episode. HBO's I May Destroy You has been getting rave reviews. As Steffi said, she did cover this show and is continuing to cover this show on her channel. I always wanted to watch the show. I saw a lot of the trailers like a couple weeks ago, and then Steffi reviewing it only motivated me more to watch it. Oh my goodness, where do I even begin?
Oh my goodness is right.
I don't even know where to begin. I guess I'll start off with like Michaela Cole, I guess. So I saw her and I knew her from a show on Netflix called Chewing Gum. So she was a familiar face for me, and she made me excited to watch the show because I think she's a great actress. And then you, of course, reviewing the show made me want to get to it sooner. But yeah, how did you find the show and what made you want to review it?
I feel like I saw a lot of people talking about it on Twitter, but you know how like there's certain people that when they talk about it, you're like, oh man, like this must be good because they have good taste. So it was like those people on Twitter that were talking about it. So I was like, oh, okay. And then like you said, Michaela Cole chewing gum was really, really funny. And I don't know, did you ever watch that episode of Black Mirror called Nosedive with Bryce Dallas Howard?
I did, but I don't remember her in it.
Oh my god, okay, so she's in it. She plays like she plays a flight attendant who works the desk area. Like, you know when you're like checking in for your flight and they're like, oh, this is your boarding pass. Mm-hmm. Like, she plays one of those ladies, and she doesn't have like a big role in that episode, but she's so funny and snarky in the episode. So she's like, oh my god, she's great.
A scene stealer.
Yeah, she's like literally a scene stealer.
Hi there, how you doing?
I am wonderful.
I am so sorry. That flight is canceled.
No.
Customer incident at the other end.
What? So when is the next flight?
Yeah, they're all kind of full.
I booked this weeks ago. It's my best friend's wedding.
I'm sorry.
I have to get there. I have to.
Okay, let's see what we can do.
Oh, thank you.
And what I find so cool about Michaela Cole is, like, you know, she's this Black British actress, but she's also like, and this is the case with Chewing Gum and I May Destroy You, is she wrote the episodes. She's the creator of the show, and she co-directed all the episodes, and she stars as the lead in the show. So she's just, like, doing it all. It's really, she's just, like, so talented.
Yeah.
She's kind of like, people kind of compare to, like, a Phoebe Waller-Bridge in that way with Fleabag, because Phoebe did a very similar thing. But Phoebe, I don't think she directed Fleabag, whereas Michaela Cole co-directed the episodes. But, like, it's just that idea of, like, these women who are just, like, they're just, like, killing it. Like, mm-hmm. they're the head of their projects, and they're starring in it, and they have so much agency in their creative vision. It's just, like, really, really inspiring and cool to see.
Yes,
so,
I love that. I love seeing that. And I don't know, this show, let me just say this. For anybody that's listening to the show, they're like, oh, Justin was reviewing a show I haven't even seen. Don't get discouraged. If you haven't seen the show, I think that this discussion is relevant for everybody because it brings up topics that we can all relate to. So we will definitely get to some spoilery stuff later on in the episode, but we will let y'all know before we get to that point. But either way, if you don't plan on seeing the show, this episode is still worthy of being listened to. So listen to it anyway.
Yes.
Let's see. So let me just get into the synopsis of I May Destroy You. So,
okay.
Arabella is a Twitter star turned novelist who found fame with her debut book, Chronicles of a Fed Up Millennial, and is publicly celebrated as a millennial icon. While struggling to meet a deadline for her second book, she takes a break from work to meet up with friends for a night out in London. The following morning, she struggles to remember what happened to her, but recalls the events of the night with the help of her friends Terry and Kwame. So that's basically the premise of the show. There's an incident that happens. I guess I can say it. I don't think this is really a spoiler. So she is supposed to be completing a writing assignment because she works for a publishing agency, right?
Mm-hmm.
So she's supposed to be, this show kind of reminded me of college when you have an assignment that's due, your friends are telling you, come out with us.
Yeah.
So a lot of the time when I was watching this show, I was getting flashbacks to college. But anyway, so she's supposed to be completing this assignment. She gets a text from her friends to come out. She decides to stop her work. She comes out, gets a couple drinks with some friends. And before you know it, things kind of take a turn for the worst. And Steffi, this show, it made me, you know, really empathize with women and what they have to go through. It's not enough to just be careful of your surroundings, but you also have to be careful about people spiking your drinks. As a guy, that's not a thought that ever comes to my mind. I'm never thinking like, oh, is somebody going to spike my drink? Is somebody going to take advantage of me? I don't think about that. And then also, like, you'll have to think about, like, going out with other people as well. Because she met up with some friends, but eventually she got into a situation where she found herself alone. Like, what did you think of all this that was going on?
Oh my gosh. Like, I was like so stressed for her. And like you said, I think as women, we're kind of brought up to have this hyper awareness of our surroundings. There's certain things that we just have to take into consideration when we're out and about, especially like in a club setting or in a party setting. I mean, I want to bring up this point right now.
Do it.
In that there is a moment in the show where Arabella, she's played by Michaela Cole, Arabella goes out to a club with her friend Terry, and Terry leaves Arabella by herself in the club. And I just feel like, I don't know, like, I feel like it's kind of girl code that you never leave your friend alone, especially like in a foreign country at a club. I was just like, oh my god, what are you doing, what's happening? And it was just
Definitely. Yeah. Like, this show, like, it made me realize that in every situation, you really need good friends around you. I've been in situations where I'm glad that I had friends around me because I wouldn't know how I would make it home. Okay, let me not say that because that makes me sound that makes me sound irresponsible. That makes me sound irresponsible. I wouldn't go as far as say make it back home, but just to keep an eye on you to make sure that you're okay. And especially when you're dealing with, you know, a woman especially has to be more cognizant of her surroundings. So it was interesting that the dynamic that this show played with having good friends around you in situations where you might find yourself taken advantage of. So in episode one, Michaela Cole's character, Arabella, she knows that her drink has been spiked. She wakes up and she knows that something has happened to her. She keeps getting these visions in her head of somebody over her, and it seems as if the person is having sex with her unconsciously, basically. Well, I mean, while she's unconscious. And she's having these visions. She has a cut on her forehead. She knows that something happened to her. Her phone is also cracked. And it's kind of scary to be in that situation when you're not sure if something happened to you and the people that you're supposed to trust aren't being really forthcoming about your state that night.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And the, you know, kind of like her friend who she thought that she could trust that night is this guy named Simon. And in the following episode, when she's kind of trying to piece things back together and kind of figure out, like, what did happen to me, there's kind of, for me, it was kind of like heartbreaking to see this, like, realization come from Arabella that, like, oh man, like, I can't trust people, friends that I thought had my back, because he was so like, yeah, like, you got home fine, you know, I was there with you and blah, 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 blah. But then as she started to investigate a little bit more, she could see that there were some cracks in his story, some things that weren't making sense. And you're just like, oh man, Arabella.
I don't know. Do you think she takes any responsibility for that, or she should get any blame for the situation that she was in? Of course, it's nobody's fault when your drink gets spiked, but did she put herself in a precarious situation? Is that problematic for me to even say? Because some people say that a woman, if she ever gets raped or something, oh, where was she? Like, what was she doing to be in that situation? What do you think?
Oof. I mean, for me, I would still say, like, what, in terms of, like, how the events of the night unfolded, like, where Arabella should probably be held accountable is the fact that she decided to go out with her friends instead of staying in and working on her book. Like, that's on her.
Uh-oh. Is the model minority coming out? You should have done your homework instead. No going out.
Yeah, that's the Asian in me being like, girl, see, you could have completely avoided this if you just, like, stayed in and did your homework. But so that's on her. For me, that's what I would say. Like, that's on her. But in terms of, like, the whole, like, her drink getting spiked and then all of the events that follow after that, like, I don't see that as something that she should be held accountable for, because I feel like when you go out with your friends, you don't, I mean, as careful as you try to be, that's not something that, like, you foresee is going to happen. Like, that is true. Like, what happens to her is, like, worst case scenario,
right?
You know,
right? Oh, so, I feel terrible. But like I said, she knows that she's been raped. Is a big thing that we should remember. And so the next scene, well, not the next scene, the next episode, it takes us to Italy. So it flashes back 3 months, I think, earlier to a time when they're all in Italy. And as Steffi mentioned earlier, they went out. Terry left her friend to fend for herself. Because the reason why she left her is because she found two guys to go home with. And she was going to engage in a threesome. So she engages in a threesome. And after everybody's, like, getting dressed up again, it turns out that the two guys that she got in a threesome with actually know each other. So beforehand, she was under the guise that they did not know each other, and these are two random dudes that she's going to be hooking up with for the night, but they knew each other, and they kind of, like, teamed up to pretend they didn't know each other so they can have sex and get laid that night. So is that deception? I mean, obviously that is deception. What kind of question is that?
So, is she deceived?
What kind of question is that? I'm the worst.
But you know what, though? I feel like, though, that you bring up an interesting point, though, because I feel like that incident does kind of fall under, which is a huge theme of the show, is consent.
Yeah.
And it's interesting that, and I feel like this kind of happens in different ways throughout the show, that Terry did consent to a threesome, but she didn't know that these two guys that she consented to being in a threesome with knew each other. Mm-hmm. So, like, because, like, for me, kind of, like, the subtext of that episode for me, because the way it kind of opens up is, like, Arabella is, like, oh, man, like, she's big time because she got sent to Italy mm-hmm. and she has this nice place. But meanwhile, like, Terry, she's a struggling actress and she can barely book an audition.
Right.
So she's kind of, like, not feeling that great about her career compared to Arabella. So it kind of felt like when she saw these two different guys in this club, that was kind of like a moment where her sexuality and her and the fact that she's able to attract these two guys, like, that was kind of like a liberating moment for her. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, you know, like, even though my career may be in the dumps, look at me, like, I could attract these two guys, right. We're gonna like have this threesome and it's gonna be great.
Here's my
so
worth
this moment. Yeah, exactly. So like then this moment of her like finding like value, like her own, like this moment of her being like liberated sexually and finding power in her sexuality suddenly like turns to, oh my God, I was like exploited by these two men. Mm-hmm. You know,
that's crazy. And so, it's just a weird dynamic of you can feel powerful, but at the same time, find out the truth and be, you know, reduced to nothing in that moment. And that was mm-hmm. embarrassing for her because she tried to play it off as if it wasn't affecting her. She didn't tell Arabella that they actually knew yeah. each other. So it's just weird how that happened. But I don't know. I feel like that's deception.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, I completely agree.
That's deception right there. But another situation that's worse that happened next, Kwame. So Kwame is one of Arabella and Terry's friend. He's a gay.
He's a gay.
So he's, I don't know if he has a sex addiction or what, but he's always on Grindr, which is like a hookup app. And mm-hmm. I don't know how he meets this guy.
Oh, the guy are we on episode 4 now?
Yeah.
I mean, he met that guy through the app, but then there was this other guy that he met who came up to him at the end of his like fitness class that he teaches.
Yes, yes.
This guy that he meets at the towards the end of his class, he kind of like I feel like there was some sort of like emotional connection between the two of them mm-hmm. because they were both bonding over the fact that they're like these black gay guys living in the UK.
Right.
But Kwame is clearly more experienced sexually than this guy because he's like, he can barely even say the word that he's gay.
Yeah,
so.
He didn't even say the words.
I never really spoken to a brother who was gay. Come on, you can say it. We're in Britain. No one's gonna throw me off a building.
Yeah, so then, like, in the episode, you see Kwame kind of, like, take him under his wing, so to speak, and, like, bring him to meet this, like, third guy that he met on Grindr. And he's kind of like, you know, let me kind of show you how I how I function in my day-to-day life.
Okay,
this
was so weird. So as Steffi mentioned, so they meet another guy, or Kwame meets another guy, and they all decide to head over to this guy's apartment, and... And I don't know what the purpose of the... I'm not explaining this well at all. I don't even know the person's name.
Oh, wait, you know what? Uh-huh. I don't think, Justin, I don't think we ever knew his real name.
Okay, that's why.
Because remember when they went to the... when he goes to report, like, what happened to him, and then the police officer asks him, well, what's his name?
Mm.
And then he, like, gives him, like, a Grindr name.
Yeah, a weird
Grindr name. It's, like, booty hookup 325. Like, I don't know. Something along the lines of that.
Uh-huh.
So we don't even know his name.
Okay, so see, there we go. There's a reason why I was like, what is this person's name? So Kwame and the guy that he meets at his fitness class, they decide to go to a hookup to engage in a possible threesome with a guy that Kwame met on Grindr. So they head to the guy's apartment, and the guy opens the door. There's an immediate attraction that he has to Kwame. He kind of like ignores the other guy, and then it's pretty awkward. So they both come in, and then like things start to heat up a little bit. Kwame and the guy that they're at his apartment start to hook up. They start to kiss. Meanwhile, Kwame's like crush, I guess, is just standing there in the room awkwardly. I'm like, this is weird. Like, what is supposed mm-hmm. to be happening? Is he supposed to join them? Is he scared? Does he not want to join them? Is he supposed to be watching? I was like, this is like very awkward. I'm like cringing, and I'm not even part of that whole situation.
Yeah, he just didn't know what to do. It was a very, I felt like that that third person in the room just like, oh no.
Yeah.
What is happening?
I don't know. That was just very awkward. And it was kind of sad because you can tell that the guy like has feelings for Kwame, but he's not getting any action. And it seems like Kwame is more interested in the hookup than he is in, you know, fostering a relationship with him. So after a while, after he's tired of just watching them have sex, he decides that he's had enough and he leaves. And, you know, after a while, Kwame finishes up with the guy that he's hooking up with and he's ready to go at this point. So he's like, thank you for a good time. I had fun. And as he approaches the door, the dude who is much bigger than him, he's really muscular. He puts his hand over the door and he's like, no, why don't you stay? And then he's like, no, I gotta go. No, I gotta go. He's like, no, why don't you stay? And then it's like getting like more aggressive. He's like, no, stay. So Kwame is like, okay, I'll stay. And then he starts to like want to kiss him more. And Kwame tells him clearly that, hey, I'm done. I don't want to like have sex anymore. And as he gets up to leave, the guy like pins him down on the bed. And since he's much bigger than him, Kwame's trying to resist. The dude like pulls down his pants and then he rapes him. I felt really terrible in that situation. Kwame obviously is distressed and he gets up and leaves and he's saddened by that whole situation. Anybody that, you know, gets raped would feel, you know, saddened and hurt that somebody would take advantage of them in that way. So Kwame, I just felt bad for him. He doesn't know what to do. I think he calls Arabella and I feel like he doesn't even want to like tell her what happened because I don't know if he doesn't even register it or he just doesn't want to like break bad news to her in a moment where she's out with the other dude. I think Zane, right?
Yeah.
So
I think she was with Zane.
He just decides to keep it to himself and he says he'll like call her another time or it was just really sad.
Yeah, that was like a very clear moment of like there was no consent there.
Yeah.
Because he physically and like literally says no and the guy still keeps going. I always kind of felt like the reason why he was a bit hesitant to tell Arabella what happened is kind of a combination of like what you said. He's still processing like what did happen to him. And I think he's still like trying to make sense too, because like even though he did clearly say no, I'm sure there was kind of a moment of doubt coming from him that like he did show up to that guy's place like intentionally and he did want to have sex with him at some point in the night.
And he did.
But then during that particular incident, that was a moment where he was like, I don't want to do it. So he was kind of like, wait, am I wrong? Like, what exactly happened to me? And then I also kind of feel like, too, regarding like Kwame and Arabella's friendship, I got the sense that Kwame's kind of used to being the person that she kind of leans her head on, like quite literally at times, too.
Oh, definitely.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, you know, like how sometimes like there's certain friendships that you have and it's like, you know, your role in the friendship. Like I'm the person that they go to advice for, or like I'm the funny one, or like I'm the one that like is usually seeking out friendship here. So, or I'm usually seeking out advice here. So I feel like in that moment, he kind of was like trying to still play the role that he's used to playing in their in their friendship. So,
and since he experienced something and he needs a shoulder to cry on at this point, since he's not used to that dynamic of going to somebody else to, you know, vent, like he has to hold everything in. And it's just sad because I feel like everybody needs somebody that they can talk to, and nobody should ever feel like they have nobody to turn to. And I feel like in that moment he really didn't have anybody to turn to. But I think we will get to him because he finishes off that storyline with his rape in a later episode. But in this same episode, in dealing with consent, Zane, who is another writer on the same publishing team as Arabella, they start to get closer with each other. They eventually have sex, and of course Arabella consented to the sex, but during the sex Arabella makes sure to tell him to wear a condom. He does at first. After a while, Arabella like turns her back to him, and while her back is turned, he takes the condom off. She doesn't feel this, and this is a big deal. She doesn't feel this, and they continue to have sex. He finishes, and then how does she realize that he didn't wear a condom?
I think she like looks down and sees the condom on the floor, mm-hmm. I believe. Like, kind of, like, just, like, really quickly. And then he kind of comes back into the room, and then she asks him, like, hey, did you, like, not have a condom on? I think that's how it plays out.
Mm.
But this is such a this is, like, one of the moments in the show that's, like, huge, because it really propels the large action of the narrative, really. And I just found it so interesting, because I feel like different shows and movies, like, across, like, the history of media have shown stories of, like, consent and rape and, you know, sexual assault. But I've never seen a situation like this.
Me neither.
Before in any show.
Me neither.
So it's just like, whoa, you know?
Yeah, and this show, what I like about this show is that I like shows that, you know, open my eyes to things that I would never, you know, realize. As you guys mm-hmm. know, I'm a guy. Obviously, there's blind spots that I have in dealing with gender because, you know, I guess, I don't know if it's privilege or what, but since I'm a guy, like, I remember when I talked to some of my friends, they're like, that are women, they're like, oh, I'm always scared to go out at night. And I'm always perplexed because I've never felt that feeling of, like, fearing for my body, that somebody's going to harm me or try to rape me or take advantage of me. So this show opened my eyes to the sense of rape. And people were saying that if you consent to sex and both parties agree that there's going to be a condom used and the guy decides to take off the condom without the woman knowing, that is rape. I didn't know that. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And neither. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, because it's kind of like what she consents to, like, that entire situation changes mm-hmm. the minute he takes off his condom, because she didn't consent to having sex with him on those terms.
Right.
It becomes a whole different thing once he takes the condom off, because literally when he took the condom off, I was like thinking in my head, oh my gosh, you're gonna get pregnant. Is you know like your mind just like starts like thinking like, okay, what's her next step if she does get pregnant? And you know, as the woman, you're gonna be the person that deals with the
repercussions,
results. Yeah, the repercussions of that. It, like, in a way that, like, it physically affects you and, you know.
Well, it physically affects both people, especially the woman more so, obviously, because she can get pregnant. But he could have an STD and he could have given it to her.
Yeah.
And the thing I don't like about what he did is he kind of, like, gaslit her in a way. He was like, oh, I thought you knew. How could she have possibly known when her back was turned to you, she didn't feel it, and you didn't tell her at all? So that is, like, gaslighting 101. And he's definitely wrong for that. And I learned something new. I learned that when that happens during sex, that is considered rape. And Arabella also, you know, learned that the next day after the previous night she went with him and she purchased Plan B. She is listening to a podcast in the morning, and the podcast is talking about the situation that she just experienced last night. They were talking about how when a guy removes a condom during sex without telling his partner, that is considered rape. So Arabella, she's like, oh my goodness, I've already been raped, and now somebody else, another man, is taking advantage of me. So it's interesting how this show, you know, talks about consent and also talks about how women can feel taken advantage of by everybody. It's like trust issues. It's like people that you're supposed to trust, you know, they don't have your best interests sometimes, whether it's your friend, you know, not taking care of you when you're drunk, when it's somebody that you consented to having sex with, isn't honest with you about what they did behind your back with removing a condom. Like, all of this stuff can really make you crazy. I was like, wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. And it's interesting too, because, like, in that episode, she goes to the police department regarding her initial rape. Mm-hmm. But then as she's leaving, she kind of just, like, asks one of them, you know, just in passing, like, oh, well, you know, if a guy removes his condom during sex, like, what is that? And then the lady's like, yeah, that's still considered rape.
Crazy.
And she's like, oh, man. And there's that one line that one of the police officers says. I wish I wrote it down, but it's something like, most people don't know, like, exactly what a crime is. They have to be told, like, yeah, what did happen to you? Like, that actually is a crime. Like, they'll in their gut feeling, they'll have a sense of, like, oh, what just happened is, like, that's not right, but they're not quite sure if it necessarily falls under the category of it being considered a crime. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was an interesting point.
Yeah.
The more access to education information that we have, like, the better we'll know when something bad does happen.
Yeah.
You know?
And the show is teaching people. Like, I'm sure I'm not the only person out there that learned something new. I don't know if you knew that prior about that being considered rape.
Well, it was just something that I never... Like, I didn't even know, like, that happened. Like, I never even thought to think, like, a situation like that could occur. Mm-hmm. That's why I was just like, oh, shit. Like, I was, like, truly shook. Because traditionally, when we see stories of, like, consent or rape or sexual assault covered, it's like, you know, there tends to be, like, certain, like, situations that they show, like, quite often. Like, the girl saying, no, no, no. Mm-hmm. And then the guy, like, still forcing his way, you know, in. Mm-hmm. But, like, this was just a really different situation that I had never even considered before. So I was like, wow.
I don't know. This writing, it's really good. It's just crazy how talented she is. Because if you really, like, break down the show and all the elements that she talked about, oh, it's crazy. Like, she deserves all the awards, honestly. And she's probably going to get it come next Emmy season.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. And, like... I mean, not to say that she doesn't deserve it either way, but, like, also when you, like, consider, like, coronavirus right now, mm-hmm. like, there's not even that many shows, like, being made.
Right.
Right now, so
the field is limited,
the field is limited, but in either case, like, she should, like, you know, get the accolades regardless. But did you know, though, that apparently this entire show was kind of based on her personal experience of her own drink getting spiked and then her also facing, like, being sexually assaulted and raped. I was just like,
yes,
that's crazy.
I know. In watching interviews in preparation for this episode and just, you know, in preparation for watching the show, I was looking at the synopsis and I saw that, this was based partly on some of her experiences with getting her drink spiked. Yeah. So it's just interesting how she put a pen to her trauma and kind of, like, is teaching everybody a lesson about consent and life and, you know, dealing with piecing together your life after something traumatic has happened to you, while also fleshing out the other characters who deal with situations that other people deal with in this, like, modern dating world.
Mm-hmm. Completely.
Kwame, we need to talk about Kwame. So Kwame, after his rape, he decides to go report it, which I thought was really big on him, because I feel like most people would be scared to, like, report something like that, especially somebody that is gay. You don't really see or hear of people that have been raped and going to the police, especially somebody being gay. So I thought this element of the story was interesting, and I was also saddened again with him, because once he was sitting down with the detectives to talk about the story, it didn't seem like they offered him much support, and it didn't even seem like they were well equipped to even deal with his situation.
Exactly. Yeah. And it kind of, like, started making me think too of, like, all the other times when maybe people did try to report that something happened to them, but the police just didn't really know how to handle it. So then it just went unnoticed. I just, like, couldn't help but think of, like, real life incidents like that.
Yeah. That happens. I'm sure that happens all the time. And they showed us, like, three scenes of things not improving. It seemed like, I don't know if it seemed like the detective was kind of, like, making fun of him in a way. Or he was, like, trying to hold back his laughter.
Yeah, because, I mean, like, when Kwame would, like, try and report, like, the actual facts of what happened to him, like, you know, the guy would ask him, so do you know the name of this man that did this to you? And he's like, no. And then he's like, well, can you, like, give me, like, try giving me, like, a description of some sort? And then Kwame's like, well, his Grindr name is, like, I don't know if this is, like, the actual show, like, what they said, but it's, like, the Grindr name was, like, App Boot Call 325. And, like, the police officer's, like, looking at him, like, what?
And then,
but,
even
that's the case.
That's true. And even understanding Grindr itself, like, I'm pretty sure that detective was straight. So he doesn't understand the terminology. He doesn't understand.
Right.
I don't know. It just shows how much, like, the system needs, you know, to be shaken up. And it needs diversity. It needs, like, experts that know the lingo, experts that know the culture, especially in a modern world where everything is, like, app-based. Stuff like that is really important.
Because you have to, like, think, too, like, Kwame, like, this is already hard for him to come out and tell this police officer this is what happened to me. But now on top of that, it's like I have to explain gay culture yes. to you so that you understand what happened to me. Like, I don't know, it's just like, oh,
I just felt bad. And that's, this is a clear example of stuff that happens to this day, which is why this show is so relevant and is so interesting. And it's just doing everything right, in my opinion. Like, all of this coming from me mm-hmm. is just rave reviews, because I just think that it's compelling to just show the reality of, you know, what happens in our, like, modern dating world, because it mm-hmm. happens.
Yeah, it's very thought-provoking, yeah. for sure.
The next thing that I see for the next episode is Arabella realizing that she was raped. And this is coming together because Arabella works for a publishing company. She is a writer. And Zane, who is the person that raped her, he's the one that took off the condom during sex. He is also working for the same company as well. So there is this gala, I guess I would say, where they're supposed to be, I guess, presenting pieces of their work. Zane is also presenting his work as well. And during the gala, one of the, I guess, assistants, she's making casual conversation with Arabella. And then Zane gets brought up in the conversation. And then I think she tells Arabella that he raped her. I don't remember what exactly that she said to...
I think what happens in this scene is Arabella and this girl... Mm-hmm. are kind of looking at Zane, kind of mingling in the crowd with these people, and to, like, also kind of, like, pull at your heartstrings a little bit. He's there with his mom, so you're just like, oh, God.
Yeah.
So then the girl kind of can see the way that Bella is looking at Zane, and she kind of can, like, read between the lines, so to speak, and she kind of, like, warns, like, Bella in a way. She kind of, like, says something along the lines of, like, be careful. And then Bella kind of gives her a look, and then this girl gives Bella a look, and then she's kind of like, me too, like some sort of exchange along the lines mm-hmm. of that,
that something has happened, like, oh, between them.
Yeah, that exactly. And I feel like that right there, when Bella found out, like, when she had that exchange with the girl, that's when Bella's, like, complete, like, outlook on Zane kind of changed, because then she realized, like, I'm not the only one
yeah.
that this happened to.
Imagine,
like, he's done this with other girls.
Yeah, a serial, like, rapist. That's, like, terrible, realizing that the person that you thought this was a one-time ordeal is actually done it with multiple people. That guy's a serial rapist at this point. So she's angry, and she's supposed to be, you know, giving a speech. So her friend supposed to, I guess, introduce her.
Terry.
She's really annoying, by the way.
oh, my God.
She's really annoying.
I was so mad at Terry during this episode, because, like, Terry, like we said earlier, she's, like, this up-and-coming actress, and Bella asked Terry to read her stuff in this, like, for this gala, and Terry's like, oh man, yeah, like, I'm gonna be, like, a real big hot shot, like, how many people are here, like, Terry is over the moon for this opportunity. And then when time comes, Terry gets stage fright.
I was like, what kind of actress is this?
Last minute.
How are you supposed to make it in the industry if you're scared to, like, perform in front of these many people? Like, she's not, and she's her biggest hype man, but she sucks. Like,
I was like, what is happening? I was like, Terry, really, Terry? If you guys watch my, I mean, I don't mean to plug my video.
No, plug it,
like,
plug it.
If you watch my reaction to this particular episode, I was so pissed at Terry. I was like, really, Terry? Really, Terry? Because Terry, like, really thought, like, she was the center of attention here, even though it was Arabella's work that she was reading. But girl bails last minute.
I know.
And it's up to Arabella to go up to the podium and read her thing that she wrote.
Right.
So, but then
everybody's in the room. You know, Zane's mom is there listening to everybody, watching in the audience. They're waiting to hear Arabella speak. She gets up to the podium. We think that she's about to read pieces of her work. She then stops, and then she begins to reverse course and instead out Zane as a serial rapist. This was very awkward, and this is interesting, because is this the time and place to do this? Is this the best way to handle a situation like this? What are your thoughts on the mm-hmm. way that she decided to out Zane publicly in front of this crowd of people that are here for, like, a book gala?
Oh my God. I'm still shook at that scene. When I watched it for the first time, like, I could not believe that this was the setting she was doing it in. I mean, it's kind of hard to judge because, like, in the back of your head, you're kind of also where, like, this is a show, you know, this is, like, played for dramatic effect. I'm not quite sure how I would feel if this actually occurred in real life, like if a girl or if like anybody really were to out someone in such a public place way, and yeah. in such a dramatic way. But I mean, it got the point across.
I mean, it did get.
I don't know. How do you feel about it?
I don't know. I don't know. The thing is, hard. Okay. The reason I personally probably wouldn't do that. Reason being that I'm there to present my work. I feel like. Couldn't the same result be accomplished if she, you know, reads her work as normal and then she decides to privately go to the police and explain that she's been raped and what happened and then, you know, things take course from there? Like, wouldn't the same effect be achieved? Because the thing is, it kind of makes you, I don't know, she's a victim, I understand that, but the time and place is to, like, receive work, to hear words from other authors, and then the whole event kind of turns on its head and becomes something else. It becomes a spectacle. So after that, how do you control the energy in that room after that? You know what I mean? I'm sure there was people that were set to go after her. Like, what happens then?
Right.
I don't know. What do you think?
I mean, yeah, it definitely... It felt like, for me, her character was at that point where she was... It was like an emotionally driven moment. Like, we kind of see her in the beginning of that episode kind of still trying to figure out if what Zane did to her was rape or was if she was like sexually assaulted in any way. And then she gets her answer. And then so that's like kind of like point one. And then point two is when she finds out that, oh, he did this to other people too. So she's like at a certain emotional level by this point where she's like, fuck it. I'm just going to do it right now.
Yeah.
Is it right? I'm not quite sure. But I mean, it's very, very dramatic. I think the thing that really annoyed me when this whole situation was Terry, because Terry, like, you guys, Terry follows him because Zane is on the stage, like sitting by the side, and he kind of like goes down the stairs and tries like running out of the
auditorium.
And Terry like puts up her phone to him and she's like, yeah, feel it. You're gonna feel it. And then like after that, it shows Terry, the girl, and Arabella like sitting at this bar together. And Terry's just like, oh, I've become a GIF. I'm a GIF. I'm viral. And I'm like, Terry has somehow managed to make this
all about her.
About Terry.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, that was annoying too. Ugh. But it's just interesting. Do you feel like people that are serial rapists like that should be outed publicly like that and should be publicly shamed like that? That if it's considered rape and they've raped multiple people, they're a Harvey Weinstein at this point. So that means, do you think their career should be destroyed and they should never be allowed to like work again?
Oh my God, wow.
I know, I'm asking Steffi the hard questions. This is getting into cancel culture.
That's really difficult. I mean, sometimes, you know, what's hard is, because the thing is when she did that, well, wait, I'm trying to think. When in her speech, did she say that he's a serial rapist, right? Okay, because like, I was going to say like, sometimes when women do speak out and they say, this happened to me, sometimes, unfortunately, people don't believe her until more people speak up. Mm-hmm. And there have been other incidents that have been reported or where other women have said, like, or other men have said, this has happened to me, too. So, I don't know. But, I mean, in terms of canceling their entire like life,
because that's well, I mean, they're a criminal, right? So what should happen?
Yeah,
what should happen? I mean,
they should be held accountable. That's the thing.
Okay.
It's like they need to be held accountable at the end of the day. Like accountability is like the most important thing.
Well, that's what cancel culture is accountability. And I feel like we should call it accountability culture, not cancel culture, because whenever people hear cancel culture, they immediately get triggered and it's like everybody's canceling everybody. We are not canceling everybody. We just want people to be held accountable. Now that we have phones, now that we have technology and we can go back and see the stuff that was accepted for far too long, we want people to take ownership and accountability for the problematic behaviors that they display in the past.
Right. And sometimes, like, you, unfortunately, you kind of have to take that rapist, that perpetrator, to an extreme in order for that person to be held accountable.
Yeah. Otherwise, they're going to keep doing the same thing.
Take away certain things. Yeah, exactly.
You'll become an enabler. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's, yeah, maybe. So maybe it doesn't matter. Like, maybe when a rapist is a rapist, you need to out them, whether publicly or privately. They need to be outed and people need to know who they are so they can, you know, mm-hmm. deal with it and repercussions can be placed on the person that, you know, is a serial rapist. So that's, it is right. what it is. If you are a rapist, I don't know. We shouldn't feel sympathy for you, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, nothing else. Kwame, we are back with Kwame. Here we go.
Oh, man.
So Kwame, I guess he's, I don't know, it's not clear on his sexual identity. I guess he's fluid or he's like curious to try different things.
Yeah.
In the beginning of this episode, we see that he's FaceTiming with a mystery woman. We don't know who this woman is. Then they start to get flirty and then Arabella and Terry are like, ooh, who's he talking to? Who's he talking to? So he finally relents and tells them that he is going to start, you know, seeing if he's, you know, interested in dating and being with women. So they are shocked, of course. This woman, as their Kwame and this girl's date approaches, it seems as though she has like a black fetish. And this, I love this show because it gets into so many like multifaceted things. It's getting into the whole like fetishization of black men and how she was so into him. It seemed like she was more into like him, the idea of him being a black man than like him as a person, as a fully realized individual. So that's one thing that I didn't like about her. So, you know, as the date approaches and as the date is happening, it's going pretty well. I'm like, you can tell that Kwame's a little bit nervous because I guess he's never like been with a woman in this capacity before. They finish their dinner date and then they begin to walk to the girl's apartment. They get to her apartment. She wants to have sex with him. It's obvious at this point. So he's kind of like hesitant in a way, and I think that he's kind of resisting. He doesn't seem like he wants to like have sex with her that night, but she's not relenting. And eventually they do, you know, have sex. And as they're talking, I don't know what triggers him into telling her that he's gay. I don't know if you remember.
Oh, it's okay. It's because, so they're like laying in bed together, I believe, or they're in the bedroom together, and this is after they've had sex, and they are like kind of like rapping along to this song, and then the N-word comes up, and she doesn't say the N-word. I think she says like ninjas.
Yeah.
And then he's like, what the heck? Ninjas. And then he kind of like, Yeah. And then he, like, kind of makes fun of her for saying it. And she's like, well, I can't because, like, I would never use the N-word because, you know, I have black friends, da-da-da-da-da. But then she goes on to say, it's like, she goes on to say that, like, if I ask for
a cigarette,
and she uses the F word. Yeah, a cigarette. I think like that's kind of like a thing in the UK, huh?
It's
I don't
like
think I've ever heard, like, in America, no. like, people ask for a cigarette using the F word. No, I think that's more
it's a slang word for cigarette.
Right.
Yeah. So she says the actual F word, and then this kind of like triggers him because it's like, whoa, since she doesn't know that he's gay, she feels free to say this word. But since he's gay, he's obviously offended that she would like use that word in his presence. And then I think at this point he's like, I'm actually gay. And then she's like, no, you're kidding. Stop joking. And then he goes, no, I'm not kidding. And then she like starts to realize that she just had sex with a gay man, and she instantly gets angry.
Woo! Oh my god, this yikes. Situation like wow has sparked a lot of debate.
And rightfully so, because I think this is something definitely worth discussing. This is another example of people being forthcoming. Do they have an obligation to be forthcoming with somebody that they're dating? What do you think about this? If had you been in this situation, is something that you would want to know is whether or not this person is straight before having sex with them?
Well, I feel like, okay, if you're a girl and you match with a guy on, you know, a dating app, or even if you like start to date the guy, I think it's reasonable to believe that this guy must be
into girls.
Yeah. So for me, like, the way she reacted, I understand her reaction, because that was deception at the end of the day. Like, I think it's possible for her, for me, I think it's possible for this girl to be both homophobic, but at the same time, to have a reason, to be reasonably angry at the fact that she had sex with this guy who she thought, to a certain extent at least, was into girls.
But you know? Why is that deception, though? Because it just, like,
Well, because she didn't know that she was having sex with this gay guy.
But he's not.
Some people may not like that. But some people may be like, okay, that's fine. But other women may not be into that.
But I don't know. The thing is, if you swipe on somebody and you're on a dating app, all of the people that you're swiping on are supposedly, like, interested in dating women. So why does the fact that he's also attracted to men change anything? Like, because we don't, his sexual identity is not really defined in this show. He's exploring his sexuality, which is something that I feel everybody has a right to do. Just because somebody is, you know, attracted to guys and they're also interested in dating women, I don't see that as deception, because you're not deceiving anybody. If I feel like in the conversation it gets brought up, like, who have you dated in the past, and then he feels comfortable to tell her that he's dated men in the past, then I think that that's a relevant discussion. But I don't know, I feel like weird that that's seen as deception, you know what I mean? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I totally agree, and I definitely see that point. But for maybe it's I'm trying to choose.
She's trying not to get canceled, y'all. Here she goes.
I think that's totally cool if someone is trying to explore their sexual identity. That's like a lifelong journey for some people, and that's totally cool. But when she consented to having sex with him, for her, she consented to having sex with someone who she thought was, you know, into girls, or maybe even to a certain extent was 100% straight.
Mm-hmm.
She, for me, I would make the argument, is well within her right to be mad that she ended up not having sex with that person. Because if we were to play, like, if we were to make, like, a hypothetical here, let's say if Kwame did tell her straight up, you know, I'm exploring my sexual identity, I've never been with a girl before, this is my first time, would she have consent to that?
Probably not.
I don't know. Probably not.
Probably not. So that means that you believe that before having sex with somebody, if somebody is, like, fluid in their sexuality, they have to disclose that they've also been with the same sex?
I mean, gosh, that's so hard, because I've seen discussions on the internet kind of likening this to, like, a discussion about, like, people's quote-unquote, like, body count.
I don't know why that matters. If you don't have an STD, I don't think your body count matters at all. Who cares how many partners you've had sex with? You know, just because you've had sex with many partners doesn't mean that you're more likely to have diseases. If you're being safe and the other person is being safe, like, I don't know why that is relevant in any way.
But then wouldn't you, if you knew that information, then follow up that question with, well, have you gotten tested? You know what I mean?
I don't know. That's the thing.
This is complicated, everyone.
The thing is, with dating and everything, you don't know how safe that other person is being. People can lie. I know somebody that has an STD and had sex with somebody knowing that she had an STD and gave that person an STD. Because the thing is...
Oh, so she consented to having... to doing that, even though she knew all the information about that person. Okay, well, I mean, as long as she knew, right?
No, I mean, like, this person has an STD and she is dating somebody and did not disclose that she had an STD and gave them an STD.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yikes.
That's the thing. When people are dating, people are assuming that everybody else, you know, everybody is safe. And everybody, if you're on an app in the first place, that means that you don't have any diseases. And why would a person have diseases to even be on this app in the first place? But people can mm-hmm. be very, like, dirty. And mm-hmm. they might be mad that they have an STD, but they're, like, in denial. So they continue to live the lifestyle that they were living before they got the STD and are, in fact, infecting other people. Mm-hmm. And I think that's so wrong. But I think it's dangerous to liken
STDs to, like, homosexuality.
Yeah, homosexuality. Yeah,
that's not the connection that we're trying to make.
Because that could be dangerous.
Yeah. That is not what we're trying to say.
Because I really don't think that he deceived her in any way. I think that maybe she should have asked him, like.
But then how would she know to ask him?
Well, this is,
like,
2020.
Are you gay? I know, but, like, well, yeah, but I mean, I don't know, like, if she would even, like, be thinking in that way because she matched with this guy on a dating app.
Well,
I don't know if she's, like, necessarily, like, that, like, that open-minded and progressive to be like, oh, well, maybe this guy is also into girl or also into guys too. I don't know if, like, that's where, if she has, like, the foresight to, you know, be thinking of the situation in that way.
The question I would ask is, well, like, why does it matter?
Well, I mean, I guess to some people it does.
why does it, I don't understand why it matters. It's not like if he's dated men and he has sex with you that you're gonna get a disease. If that's what you're fearing, right. Like, that's stupid. Like, I don't know why it would matter.
Well, yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, it really shouldn't matter. And this kind of, like, I feel like a lot of her having, like, such an intense negative reaction to him being gay, I think a lot of it is rooted in the fact that she is homophobic.
Mm.
But I think there is also, you know, to a certain extent, she does kind of feel, like, played. Like, she didn't know that this is what she was consenting to.
I think there's also an element that we haven't talked about yet that could be part of it. So mm-hmm. I talked about how she has, like, this black fetish, and you know, the stereotype with black men is that we're strong, we're dominant men, we're, you know, we have big penises or whatever, mm-hmm. we're, like, really, like, well endowed, like, strong, like, tough men. And I feel like maybe her realizing that he's also been with men, it's kind of, like, completely 100% against this idea of what she has of black men. Since she has this fetish and she sees black men in a certain way, somebody who comes against that ideal image of a black man repulses her. She's turned off by that completely because she has a fetish for black men, and somebody that is different from the stereotypical strong black men, black man, like, repulses her. And, you know, maybe she sees it as a weakness or, like, a feminization in a way, because if you are, like, I guess in other words, like, taking dick, that, like, it feminizes you in a way. You know what I mean? And you see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Wow, that's a really great point. I didn't even think about that. And I feel like that also kind of ties into, it kind of makes what she said. She has an earlier line in that scene where she talks about how, this is according to her, she thinks that, like, you know, gay men have, they're, like, kind of, like, capitalizing on, like, a female, like, they try to, like, emulate female personalities. She says a line, something along the regards of that. Mm-hmm. So it kind of helps make sense of that line for then suddenly to her to see this black guy who she has, like, this, you know, like, kind of like what you were saying. She thinks she has a very stereotypical image of what a black man is supposed to be. Mm-hmm. And then here is this black man in front of her who kind of, like, you know, because he says that he's gay, she suddenly thinks, like, goes completely against what her idea of a black man is. So,
yeah, it's layered. I don't.
It is very complicated. I don't know. I feel like I don't know if there's, like, a right or wrong. I don't think there's a right or wrong way to look at the situation. It's just a very complicated discussion. Because I've watched a lot of, kind of like you, like, I watched a lot of interviews with Michaela Cole. Mm-hmm. And she said her goal with the show, which I think she accomplishes, is she's not trying to paint certain people as good and paint certain people as bad and, like, this is good and this is bad, but she's trying to just present these characters in these very complicated, like, situations and then, like, you know, evoke conversation.
Yeah, and know? She's doing...
This is, it's complicated.
Yeah, it is definitely complicated, because, I don't know, it's one thing, it'd be one thing if he had an STD and didn't tell her, which was not the case, but for all intents and purposes, we assume that he's completely clean and everything. So if the sheer fact is just that he's been with men, but he's like having sex with you and there's no issue or anything, and that's that, like, why does that change anything? I don't know. And it goes to, like, ignorance. We might think that everybody's progressive just because we're young and we're in 2020, that everybody thinks the same way and it's progressive. But this is showing that sometimes, you know, you're not as progressive as you think you are. People have their biases. People have their, you know, their prejudices against other people. And this is a clear example of that. We might, you know, expect everybody to see the world our way, but there's other people that reject, you know, what we find progressive.
Oh, you know what? I would also like to add too. I think part of, because I was thinking about this, I think maybe another additional reason why she may be feeling a certain kind of way is maybe she feels used by him in this situation. You know, like the fact that this is someone who is still trying to figure out his sexual identity, and here she might be seeing herself as some sort of like experiment that this guy
took. Well, the thing is, we have to ask ourselves, what was the intention with the date? Was the intention to date seriously and look for a serious relationship, or was it like a one night stand where this is a one night hookup and that's that? You know what I mean?
Well, see, because for me, like, and maybe this is because we've spent more time with Kwame's character in the show, like, for me, I always saw Kwame as, this is someone who, if anything, is more interested in guys than girls, based on the fact that up until this point, he's only hooked up with guys. And even the way in which we see Arabella and Terry reacting to him, like trying to chat up this girl, they're like amused. They're like laughing at him. They're just like, oh my God, I can't believe this is happening. So for me, I always felt like Kwame was kind of walking into this dating situation with this girl with the intention of like, I'm just gonna try it out. Like, I don't think there was ever like a serious intention to like him. let me have like a long lasting like relationship, if anything.
I mean, but you don't know. Maybe
I don't know.
Maybe we don't know what could have been had she not been homophobic. It seemed like he had no trouble like staying consistent during the sex, so that's not an issue. It seemed like he was like fully able to finish the job, and like he didn't like feel like less attracted to her just because she was a woman, so it doesn't seem like that was an issue.
And isn't there like a certain layer too that I feel like kind of he was trying to, the reason why he was trying to explore relationships with women was because he was so like traumatized by the previous experience he had getting raped by that guy. Because when they were having sex, they were showing him like kind of, they were like cutting back to that time when he got raped. So I don't know, it's just very complicated.
That's he's trying to deal with his trauma and process that. Maybe he's like very repulsed by the thought of like being in a relationship with another man after something traumatizing happens. So since he's like he needs like a shoulder to cry on, he needs somebody to vent to, like the stereotype thing about women is that they're soft, that they listen, that they, you know, provide comfort. You know, am I making sense? Is that like a fair thing to say? And since that's the opposite of what he's used to, he just needed comfort and protection, and he couldn't get that from a man, so he decided to try things out with a woman.
But unfortunately, he didn't tell what's her face? Oh, Nilifer. That's her name, guys. Her name is Nilifer. He didn't tell Nilifer that, you know, this is what happened to me, blah, 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 blah. I don't know if that would have changed anything, if that would have, like, made her, like, be a little bit more open to trying things out with him, but he didn't tell her any of that.
So let's...
But he doesn't have an obligation to tell.
Okay, because that's what I was going to ask you just now. That's what I was going to ask you just now. I was going to say, so Steffi, blanket question and answer. Does somebody that is fluid have to disclose that they've been with the same sex when pursuing somebody of the opposite sex?
Oof. I mean, oh man.
This should have been the episode.
I'd have to. I mean, okay, but it's kind of like that person who they are like
pursuing.
Dating, oh, yeah, that they're pursuing. That person's response is like can be very, very different depending on that person's like belief system. Mm. You know what I mean? An outlook on life and their openness. And I think that's the large reason why when people who are sexually fluid do pursue, you know, other people, maybe that's part of the reason why sometimes they don't disclose that to someone that they're trying to pursue, mm-hmm. because they don't want to be rejected. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's the thing. I don't know.
So, I don't know.
But what reason would they have to tell the other person? Like, if you don't have any diseases, if you don't have anything like wrong with you, like what is the point of disclosing? That's like giving somebody like an unnecessary fact about you that it, like, has no bearing on anything. You know what I mean? But right. Some people are like repulsed by that fact, even though it has nothing to do with your character or your health.
Right. Yeah. I mean, like, in an ideal world, it really shouldn't have a bearing. But there are some people out there, unfortunately, who that would like completely change the entire situation. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, because I've been wanting to have that episode for a long time. Since we're having discussion, I probably might not have it, but who knows? Maybe there's still stuff to be discussed. But I've been wanting to have this discussion for a long time because there's people that I know in real life that definitely would not date a man that is fluid in any way, because there's this like misconception that just because somebody is bisexual, that means they're two times as likely to cheat. That means they have the option to cheat with women and they have the option to cheat with men. But that's not a fair assertion at all, because you know, a cheater is going to cheat, whether that's a man or a woman. It doesn't matter. Like, if you are making a commitment to the person that you're with, that's a commitment that you're making. It doesn't matter if you're attracted to men or women. If you're going to cheat, you're going to find a way to cheat regardless of how many genders you're attracted to. Just because you're attracted to multiple genders doesn't mean that you're twice as likely to cheat, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And I feel like I know, like, I've never had this discussion with my friends, but I feel like there are some friends of mine who they would say absolutely not, you know? So, and I can't speak for them. I don't know why they would specifically say that, but the impression that I have of them after being friends with them for a certain amount of time, I feel like I could gauge, they'd be like, I'm a pass on that.
What do you think it is? For me, like, most of, like, my friends are Black. So whenever I'm, you know, having discussion, I think it's also with what I mentioned before about this idealized vision of what a Black man is supposed to be. Any Black man that's having sex with another man, and if he's like a bottom, then they view that as like being weak or being like more feminine, and they want their man to be, you know, masculine. And if you are in that position, that means that you are the complete opposite of what a man is supposed to be, and that makes them completely unattracted to that individual.
I think to a certain extent that idea could be applied to all men, in that women who find out that maybe their potential male partner has also been with another man, they might think like, oh, they might question his masculinity as well. And I think also maybe to a certain extent, maybe they might be a bit paranoid that this person, when they're with her, like, is he really with me, or is he thinking of another man? Or there's that potential that she could be cheated on with another man, by a man. So, like, I don't know.
Because I heard one of my friends said that she has to be worried about him, like, looking at other men in addition to looking at other women as well. So that's part of the reason why, because they think that there's like a higher chance of them cheating since they're attracted to both genders.
Right. It's kind of like, remember in Love is Blind, that one
Charlton
guy
the one guy,
I think he's the one that was like, after he got together with the girl and like proposed to her, didn't he like come out and later say like he was bisexual? Right? Is that what happened in Love is Blind? That was so long ago. But
I know.
Yeah, it's kind of like that. I don't know. It's complicated.
Yeah, because people were saying that he should. I don't know. This is hard. Yeah,
we don't have the answers, you guys.
I don't know. I don't know. Because I know that the reason why it's hard is because it should, like you said before, it shouldn't change anything. But we know in the society that we live in, just that fact of a woman knowing that the guy is bisexual will turn her off before getting the chance to know him for who he is.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Mm.
Man, and that's why people don't want to disclose that. And I don't know. I might be a radical liberal or whatever, but I don't feel like you have to disclose that. I think that if it gets brought up naturally in a conversation, then you can have that conversation. And if that person doesn't want to be with you after that, that's that. But I don't think that the woman should look at it as a betrayal if the guy did not disclose that at the beginning of the relationship.
I mean, like we've been saying, like in an ideal situation, it really shouldn't like affect the way in which a woman views a man. Mm-hmm. But we don't live in that.
I know. It's weird. Like attraction is attraction, and if that fact makes you not attracted to anybody, does that make the woman prejudice?
Probably to a certain extent, but then can't you make the argument too that it's just like her personal preference? That she would rather be with, like, a man who has only been with other women?
But then...
Can you make that argument?
Preferences is a complicated word because let's bring in race. If you have a preference to... to not date a certain race and you never date that race because you call it a preference, is that prejudice? You know? Mm. Or is it prejudice disguised as preference?
I don't know.
See? That's what. Oh my goodness! I didn't know we were going this deep on this.
I know.
I love it though.
You like how we've been like on like 20 minutes.
I know.
Just talking about this.
I know.
Are you gonna keep this all?
I think this discussion is good. I think I should keep it. We all have to like reflect, you know, as a society about the way we make our decisions and why we make those decisions. Because preferences don't come out of nowhere. Like prejudice don't come out of nowhere. Like there's a reason why we think the way we do, and it's based on our experiences. It's based on our, you know, blind spots about society and our knowledge about sexuality and stereotypes about what people should be and how they should act and what you're attracted to. It's very nuanced.
Mm-hmm.
Very nuanced
for sure.
But yeah. I was like,
oh my god, we haven't even talked about Biagio.
I know. That's what's
Arabella.
That's what's next. So let's just talk about it.